Now, Martin McGuinness was back in the firing line over the weekend when his ministerial car was vandalised outside his home in the Bogside. The back window was smashed and the roof was dented after stones were thrown at it. It's not the first time, of course, that the Deputy First Minister's home and family have been targeted. His wife has also been verbally abused on the streets in the city, while dissident Republicans have been blamed for the attacks in the past. The Deputy First Minister's local councillor is now prominent dissident Republican Gary Donnelly. Good morning, Councillor Donnelly.
Good morning, Enda.
We're going to talk this morning, Councillor Donnelly, about your own political journey, but let's focus first of all on that attack on Martin McGuinness's car over the weekend. What are your own thoughts on those people responsible?
Well, first of all, I don't know who was responsible, but I have no problem, Enda, saying that attacks like this on family homes shouldn't be happening, and I have no problem calling for an end to such attacks.
Would you condemn the attack?
Well, I think it's wrong, but I also would say, Enda, is that, you know, in this constituency, there has been 4 house raids in 5 days by a heavily armed police force which has deliberately targeted families of Republicans. Now, I don't hear any condemnation from any of the politicians about attacks like this.
Have you contacted the Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness, who is, of course, a constituent of yours, to offer your support over what happened?
No, I have not, no.
Have you no plans to do that?
Not really, no.
Has Martin McGuinness many enemies within the city?
Well, you know, Martin McGuinness, over the last number of years, has made a lot of, a lot of statements that could be seen to be provocative and arrogant, you know, insulting people, calling people traitors, you know, and to park a British ministerial car outside his home in the Bogside isn't the most sensible thing to do.
So was that the issue here, the fact that it was a British ministerial car in your view?
Well, I'm not sure, Enda, why that attack happened. As I said, I don't know who carried out that attack or what the reasons for it.
But you wouldn't condemn those who carried out that attack?
Well, you know, as I said, I have no problem saying that attacks like this on family homes shouldn't be happening, and they're wrong.
You've been a councillor now for a number of weeks. You're going to be taking your seat in the new Super Council. How are you dealing with the fact that when there is a dissident Republican attack within the city, people look to you for a response, look to you to try and justify it?
Well, you know, I think really that these people are using, you know, this as a distraction. I'm not responsible for the actions of Republicans in this city, dissident or otherwise, you know, and if these councillors want to continuously, you know, they can question me all day long, but the reality is that the people who are carrying out attacks are the people that need to be questioned about the motive behind attacks.
But isn't the difficulty for you, though, that you as a member of the 32 County Sovereignty Movement are very much seen in the same light as those people who carry out these attacks in the past, those people, for instance, who have thrown bombs into banks, who have placed bombs on buses and so on?
Not particularly, no.
You don't see that?
No.
As a member of the 32 County Sovereignty Movement, because we know members of that particular movement have joined in dissident Republican rallies in the city and have spoken from platforms.
Well, people are entitled to protest and attend rallies. You know, there's a difference between being a member of a political pressure group than taking part in resistance against the state.
Mm-hmm. And when you are called upon to condemn these people, you will do that?
Well, you know, one-sided condemnation, Enda, will not achieve anything. You know, British soldiers are currently involved in various imperialist missions throughout the world. No one is calling on the DUP to condemn them.
The difference there, of course, is the fact that they're sent there by democratically elected governments. The violence that we see sometimes on the streets in Northern Ireland carried out by dissident Republicans, for which they have no mandate for.
Well, you know, if you're saying that these people have a mandate to invade our people's sovereignty and carry out acts of terrorism, then, you know, that's wrong.
Well, but people have, people have a choice there with those governments. They can vote them out.
Well, people of Ireland don't have a choice whether they're occupied or not by Britain. Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, that attack on the Everglades Hotel when somebody carried a firebomb into the hotel and left it in the reception area, what are your thoughts on those people?
Well, and I would like to see a day with these attacks don't happen, you know, and we can engage all day long in selective condemnation. What I will condemn is the situation that, you know, that makes people feel that these attacks should be carried out.
Of course, when you don't condemn things, and we've seen it in the past with Sinn Féin and the IRA, there is the perception out there that because you don't condemn something that you offer some kind of tacit support for what they're doing.
Well, that's not necessarily true. You know, the DUP and Derry City Council have said that they will refuse to work with me because of my lack of condemnation. But the DUP and Derry City Council have no problem working on a daily basis in her first names terms with a number of councillors who have spent a long time imprisonment for carrying out political acts of violence.
How do you
These same councillors have never condemned the, you know, they have never apologised or condemned the, you know, the campaign that they were involved in. So there's a lot of hypocrisy happening within the new super council.
So you're not interested in the politics of condemnation is what you're saying this morning, and that's consistent across the board, is it? You won't condemn anything?
Well, it's not that I won't condemn. I won't take part in, I won't take their words, put them into my mouth and spew them out. I'm an independent councillor, and that's what I'm going to remain.
The interesting thing for you now, of course, the fact that you are part of the democratic institutions here. You in the past, and indeed others within the dissident Republican family, have accused Sinn Féin of administering British rule here in Northern Ireland, as you described it. Aren't you doing that now?
Not really, no. You know, Sinn Féin
Well,
look, just to deal with the issue, Sinn Féin have actually said, Francie Molloy claimed, that they really are prepared to administer British rule for the foreseeable future. Now, it could be argued that all politics in the six counties is in effect doing that. However, as an independent, I am free to make that call. I see the local, you know, the local council as belonging to the people, and I'll be giving people a voice at a local level.
But you're taking,
I don't see it as administrating British
you're
rule.
You're taking your money from the British Exchequer.
Well, unfortunately, and you know, I grew up here in the six counties. You know, I have to drive on the same side as the road. I have to pay tax. You know, it's a situation we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. But the council is part of the same system as the executive. You can't divorce the two. So you can't on one hand say, well, it doesn't suit me to be part of the wider political picture here. I'm just a local councillor doing my local thing.
Well, and as I said, I don't see it as an administrating British rule. I will use my position on this council to ensure that large sections of our community, you know, are given a voice and that they're not marginalised and neglected.
So that means that when it comes to dealing with things like potholes on the road, that you will go through the state apparatus, as it were, and contact the department responsible, of course, the department which is administered through Stormont and ultimately through London.
That's correct, yes, I have no other option.
So you're happy to use the system, but the system that you're not party to, that you want to destroy?
I am happy to use that very same system.
Some people would say that's being a hypocrite.
Well, some people will, but you know, the reality is that there is a demand from people within this city to be represented on, you know, on these boards.
Yeah. And how is that different then from Sinn Féin whenever they say they're doing the same and you take issue with that?
Well, Sinn Féin are part of the establishment. They're pro-establishment. They support the police. They support the judiciary, you know. They're not there to change it. They're there to support it and prop it up.
So basically you pick and choose what democratic institutions you want to work with?
Well, I have stood in local government elections and I have been elected. I have been given a mandate. Yes.
What about working with the PSNI? Because that's going to be part of your council duties from now on. Of course, we know the PSNI regularly meet with Derry City Council to deal with issues on the ground in areas like the one you represent. How are you going to work that?
I won't be working with this corrupt police force.
Mm-hmm. You won't be working with the PSNI in any form. Well, how are you going to deal with crime in your area then when people come to you and say that we need to contact the police about this? What will you do?
Well, if somebody comes to me and says we need to contact the police about it, then, you know, why are they coming to me? They should go directly to the police.
But you're a councillor there. Surely you're there to represent them. You know, you can't say, well, I don't deal with this, but I'll deal with the other.
Why not?
Well, surely you're there to serve the people and deal with everything.
I am there to serve the people, and if the people come to me and there's an issue that I can't deal with, then it's entirely up to them whether they go to the police or not.
And did you make
that's
that,
their choice.
And did you make that clear in your election literature? Because Martin McGuinness has already told us that he got four pages of your pamphlet through his door. There wasn't one mention of republicanism in that leaflet, and he's accusing you of being disingenuous.
Well, you know, and I don't think that there will be any type of shock or horror for people in this city after Martin said that they realise that I'm a Republican. People in the city know what my Republican politics are.
So you're telling us then that you're not going to work with the PSNI. Say, for instance, that somebody reports to you an incident of child abuse. What do you do with that?
Well, I would encourage them, that, you know, if someone comes to me with an incident of child abuse, and which they have in the past, I will signpost them to an agency.
Mm-hmm. On the wider Republican, dissident Republican issue, of course, people always ask questions whenever there is an attack as to what purpose it serves. You're there on the ground in the city. You say you understand, I suppose, the motivation behind those involved in this type of activity, though you don't necessarily fully support them. You're not acting as a spokesperson for them. Help the rest of us understand then the motivation behind what they do.
Well, and There's been 800 years of violence in this country, and it's the inevitable result of the violation of Irish national sovereignty. It's the absence of a solution, you know, and the existence of resistance groups such as IRA, it's inevitable, you know. That is the reality when a country's sovereignty is violated.
So how then does throwing a bomb into a bank advance the whole issue of United Ireland?
Well, Enda, that is a question that needs to be asked of the groups engaged in such actions.
So that was a pointless exercise, in your opinion?
I'm not saying that, Enda. What I'm saying
you say that?
Because I don't speak for these groups.
But you can give us your opinion.
I'm not a cheerleader for militant republicanism. These groups will explain their own rationale.
You can give us your opinion.
Well, perhaps you should ask members of political party who were once involved in the same actions. Mm-hmm. They're there. But they're in government positions. They're in council positions. You know, they have.
We
they
don't have them in front
this.
Of us this morning. We have you in front of us this morning.
I haven't engaged in these actions, Enda. There's people there who have openly boasted that they've engaged in such actions, and they're in positions of responsibility. So if you behind this, then they should be the ones that should be on here being questioned.
So do you think it is indefensible, really, to throw a bomb into a bank or to place a bomb on a bus?
Well, and it's part of your singling out resistance to an occupation. You're singling out, specific attacks. It has to be taken in the context of an 800-year Anglo-Irish conflict.
But surely, what does throwing a bomb in a bank, advance anybody's cause? Because that's what's happening on the ground. The reality for people in the city is these things are happening.
And for a British soldier to shoot an 11-year-old child almost point-blank range in the head with a plastic bullet, how does that advance the British cause?
Mm. But of course, the conflict now, by and large, is over. The only people still engaged in violence here in Northern Ireland largely are dissident Republicans. Of course, Sinn Féin would tell us that they're ceasefire soldiers, they're wedded to the past, they're up to their necks in criminality, and they serve no purpose but to try and drag people back to the dark old days.
Well, Sinn Féin entitled their opinion, but that's exactly the same sentiments that the SDLP used against Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin are now part of that establishment, and they're required to come out with comments like that.